In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, every now and then, which you probably noticed already, the hymn will catch my attention and sort of tweak my sermon a little bit. And as we were singing that hymn prior to the reading of the gospel, the gradual, whatever you want to call it, the last verse, I just love the last verse. You know, he speaks of completing this new creation. And then we'll come before him, we'll cast our crowns before him, and then we'll be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen? After we cast our crowns before him, in this new creation when it is complete, we will then be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen? Amen. We haven't cast our crowns before him yet. The work is not complete yet. If that were true, then we'd be living in the kingdom of God. Jesus would be ruling over us, correct? Yes? We're in this in-between place. And as I heard that final verse of the hymn, and then I picked up my hymnal and was reading it again. I've read the gospel a bunch of times. Don't take that personally. Even read it this morning myself. And I'm thinking, no, I'm just going to put my hymnal down. We're not going to talk about that. And then they played that last little verse as everyone recessed back to the towards the altar. And I thought, okay, I just got to mention it. Brothers and sisters, here it is. There's work to be done. Our gospel reading today tells us that's the truth. Jesus is sending out the 70, two by two, or 72, depending on which translation you have. Either way, he sent out a whole lot of folks to go out and do one simple thing. Proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Amen? That's what he's told them to go do. And he gave a whole list of other things. I mean, it went on for a while, right? He even skipped a piece there that the woes to the unrepentant cities, to those who will refuse God. We cleaned it up. We didn't want to hear about people getting burned up and all kinds of stuff. And let's just suffice it to say that verses 12 through 15 roughly are about what it looks like to be living outside of the grace of God when you choose not to accept the grace of God. But these first verses, he anointed 70, he sent them out, and he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Amen? Now, but who knows that? We know that, right? Hey, we're the laborers. You know that part, right? Oh, okay, good. We're the laborers, as much as we maybe don't want to hear that. Interesting thing happens when we discover there's few laborers. Happens to me too, I'll admit it. We look at the other folks and we go, come on. I mean, are they going to do something or not? But God, Jesus has an answer for that too. When we discover this, he knows, by the way, because yeah, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, here's your instruction, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He doesn't say, let's all get together who labor and whine because we're doing all the labor and everybody else isn't. It's not the 90-10 split or the 80-20 split in any organization, you know, 20% of the people do. Yeah, you got it. Sometimes I think it's 10% doing 100% of the work, but not true here, of course. I mean that. He's laughing. But the fact is this, we all get caught up in this fact of where are the laborers, and we forget to ask the boss to send more. Amen? Now, and then we sit and we go, man, I'm so tired. I can't get anybody else to do this, and nobody's working with me. It's like, well, maybe we should focus on the harvest. That's our job. Getting the laborers, that's his job. Amen? So how about we quit worrying about that so much and start worrying about the harvest? Because the harvest is still plentiful. Even when maybe we get tired, myself included, and we kind of sit back and go, oh, I don't think I can do it anymore. I'm so tired, I need help. Sometimes at that moment, I actually remember to pray and ask God, please, send more help. And sometimes, if I'm really doing good, I remember there's still a plentiful harvest out there, and I'm not doing anything but whining. So get back up, go back to work. The harvest is still plentiful. It just is. And how wonderful is that? I mean, the harvest is plentiful. The people who are waiting to hear about the kingdom of God being near, there are many. And we get the job of going out there and saying, hey, the harvest is plentiful. Here's the people that need to hear about the kingdom of God. And we get to go out and say, the kingdom of God is near. And then we can tell them how we know. We can witness to them from our own experience of the presence of God. And then we can just keep moving. And we don't have to worry about anything. See, the harvest is plentiful, but it's out there, not in here. We can sit here caught up in wonder, love, and praise for a moment, and we should. But then we need to get back to it, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And he's going to provide everything we need. He says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road, which the scholars will tell you is a reference back to Elisha's servant as he sent him off to the child who was laying dead. So stay focused. Don't greet anybody. Go right there. Here's your job. Go from here. Do your job. Don't get distracted is what he's saying. Of course, before that, he gives those really comforting words. I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. And when I read that, I think if the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And I often think to myself, the harvest is plentiful, laborers are scared. I really think that's often what it is. As you know, I was in sales for a while in my life. Some people often say that I am, but you all know that I'm not in sales. I'm in what? Marketing. Amen. I don't close the deal. Neither do you. But there were times in my career in sales where I would sit in cold calls. They're the worst. I don't know if you've ever had to do that. When I was 17, I actually did it by phone. If I called you at dinner, I apologize. Hated it. Oh my gosh, it was terrible. In my later years, I'd like to mess with those people when they call me at dinner. It's kind of entertaining, but for me, they hate it. But there were times when I would pull up in front of a place where I just knew my product would be a good fit. And I just couldn't get out of the car. It's a cold call. Bless you. I didn't know what I was getting into. And I was scared of how I might be received. So I had to get back to my why. Why does it matter? Well, because I had a wife and three children. If I didn't sell, they didn't eat. I think I can get out of the car now. And sometimes I went in very sheepishly and hoping they would dismiss me quickly so I could run back out. And sometimes I went in bold. I went into this one place. They were having a big sale on my competitor's product. They were a national account, so they could have bought my product too. They didn't. And I'm thinking it was a rental store, actually, down south of here. And I thought, well, they're probably not selling that much anyway. And I went into their little small showroom, and there was 10 feet of retail space dedicated to my competitor's product. Now, if you've ever done sales or that kind of work, you know 10 feet on a retail floor, that is a lot of space, brothers and sisters. And I walked in and I'm looking at it. And I look up, small store, the guy at the counter, he goes, can I help you? And as I turned, he saw my shirt, you know, polo shirt, typical salesman. He goes, oh, you're the David White guy. That was a company I worked for. He goes, hang on a second. And he calls back to this other guy. He goes, hey, so-and-so, the David White guy is here. And this guy literally pushes out in a chair out of his office door and goes, I won't tell you exactly what he said. He said, what do you want? But he added a couple extra. And I said, well, I want you to get rid of this. I added a little extra and get a decent product in here to sell. I figured I'm going down anyway. I'm going to go down in flames. Right? I mean, let's just do it. Hey, you come on. I just came back at him. And you know what? He goes, come on back. When I left that job, they were one of my biggest clients. That store was selling more product than any other store in that national account anywhere in the country. See, sometimes we can't be afraid. Boldness will often change the outcome when we engage. If, brothers and sisters, we are the laborers in the field, we know already we're going out among wolves. Great. We already know what? The Lord is going to provide everything. Amen? Amen. We should go boldly. And he even says, after you even do all this stuff, some aren't going to hear it. He's going to provide you everything. You don't take your purse, no bag, no sandals, greet no one on the road, stay focused is what he's saying. Whatever house you enter, say peace in this to this house. If they take it, stay. If they don't, you move. If the town says, we're not interested, you just knock the dust off your sandals and say, well, just so you know, on your way out the door, you say, the kingdom of God has still come near. Whether you see it or not, it's really immaterial, and whether they hear it or not is not your job. Your job is to let them know, and then you move on. Lectionary skips the next part. Let's just say being outside of the grace of God isn't pretty. You can read it later. Verse 16, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. If you are rejected, it's not you that's being rejected. That's hard to hear. I had to learn that in sales. Otherwise, I felt terrible. I couldn't move. So nobody likes me. It may have had something to do with me, but it really didn't matter. Jesus is saying, when we go out and proclaim the kingdom of God is near, they are going to either hear him or they are not. They are either going to accept Jesus or they're going to refuse Jesus. It's not about you. See, we have nothing to be afraid of. If you go out there and offer somebody the peace of God and they turn it away, we just turn them over to the boss. It's okay, Lord, I told them. You keep working on them. If I need to come back, let me know. Amen? But I think sometimes, and I might be wrong, maybe it was just me, I'm a little bit over it now. I don't mind talking about Jesus to almost anybody. I say almost. It doesn't do much good to talk to my family about Jesus, I discovered. But most of them know him, so that's safe. But there was a time that I was afraid I'd say something about Jesus to someone, and they'd come back with something that I didn't know. I don't think I know enough. Maybe I shouldn't say anything about Jesus because I don't know all there is to know about Jesus. So I want to be a laborer, and I know there's few, but I'm actually, not that I don't want to be a laborer, I'm just afraid of the work. Just afraid of the work. I'm afraid I won't be good enough. I'm afraid I won't know enough. And the job is to go proclaim the kingdom of God is near. Does anyone here know that the kingdom of God has come near to them in their life? You have experienced the very presence of God in your life. Amen? That's what you do. Because you know what? I can tell you about many occasions in my life when the presence of God was near. Many. And you know what you can't do? And what no one else can ever do? They can never take that away from me, and they can never convince me that I'm wrong. Never. Never. Because it's my witness to the presence of God in my life. You got nothing to fear. Somebody may want to explain away your experience with the presence of God, and you just say, that's fine. But I know it's God. Well, it was this, or it was that doctor did this, or that person did this, or yeah, you were provided for, but somebody gave you the money. I said, yeah, they sure did. I wonder why they do that. And I bet if you chase them down, they say, I don't know, God told me to. See, we got nothing to be afraid of. We proclaim that the kingdom of God is near because we have touched it, and we have seen it, and we have felt it, and it is our witness to his presence. You don't have to be a theologian to tell somebody about your story. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to hide in the car. You can read those other verses if that helps. That would be the gotta feed the kids kind of thing. It would be the, oh my goodness, I don't want that. If that helps you. Some days it helps me. So I can be a laborer, or I could be scared, or I could be a laborer, or I could be a whiner, and on any given day, I'm all of those things. But the good days is when I'm a laborer. And I don't worry about that whether there's more of me or less of me around. What I focus on is the harvest is plentiful. We will engage with people. Some will get angry. So be it. They're not angry with you. Actually, those are the ones I like. Because at least they're thinking. At least they're thinking. I just lost a very simple word. Someone who doesn't believe God exists. Atheist, thank you. Agnostic was coming, but I knew that wasn't quite it. I've met many people who find it necessary to immediately tell me, because I have a collar around my neck often, that they're an atheist. And I, oh, that is my best day. I'm like, really? And they're like, absolutely. So you don't believe in God at all? I don't. Okay. Not even little? So there's nothing bigger than you. You're it. Well, I didn't say that. Oh, okay. But you did. So you understand all of this I don't get it, honestly. So, yeah, I fall back on God a lot. I look at things that he's done and created, and I go, man, that is above my pay grade, but I'm so grateful that God's doing these things. And they usually look at me and go, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I guess maybe, I said, so you're agnostic? And they're like, I don't know what that means. I said, well, that means that you believe there's a higher power, but you just don't know what it is. Yeah, I think that's who I am. Absolutely. Okay, good. So look, we made a step. And then I'll usually ask them, I said, well, what's your background? What experiences have you had with the church? And I bet 70% of the time, they're not atheists. They're not agnostic. They're hurt. They were hurt by the church. And they're like, I just don't understand how people could proclaim Jesus and be so hurtful. I said, I don't know either, and I do it myself. Sometimes we fall into the brokenness that's present in us. Amen? And we all have done it. We're not perfected. It's not time to toss our crowns in. We're still moving from glory to glory. It's a process. But I'll tell you this. The more we engage in that which God has called us to do, the better we get at it. We practice our faith. Because we have not perfected it. He has not perfected us. But he will. I know because he said he will. And I trust that. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid. We do have to remember that he's got it. He's got us. And some really important things Jesus has to say. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. No one likes to be rejected. No one likes to be told no. You spend enough time in sales, you never hear no. All you ever hear is yes and maybe. It doesn't matter how they say it. It's just yes and maybe. Very rarely do you get a solid no. And that's true when we're sharing the word of God with people too. Very rarely do you get a solid no. But we get nervous and we run back to the car. They're not rejecting you. If you're like me and maybe many other people, rejection is hard to take. I have yet to meet a single person who ran up to me and said, "You know what I love most? Is being rejected." I love it so much, I can't wait till it happens again. Never met that person. I've met a lot of people who are tired of being rejected, who have been hurt by rejection. I've even met some people who I unknowingly rejected, and they were bold enough to tell me, which I'm always grateful for. Not happy, but grateful. Disappointed in me. It happens. But the thing we need to remember is if you are out there proclaiming the kingdom of God and someone rejects, it's not you. It's just not you. They're rejecting Christ. But that's still good news because they're still thinking about him. And that's how you know they're not atheists and agnostics, because if they just didn't care, they wouldn't care. And I said this earlier, you got a little bit of trouble at 8 o'clock. I said, you know, there's things in this world I just don't care about. They can go on with or without me. If they weren't here, it wouldn't matter to me one bit. One of them happens to be football. I don't care. I know it's un-American and all the other things, but honestly, it just doesn't matter to me. If there's football or not football, it means nothing to me. If it means something to you, I say that's fine. I got to work like every Sunday, so but maybe that's why I don't mess with it. But it's like, oh yeah, football is on. I'm like, yay. The other thing that bothers me most is that they moved the Super Bowl to the evening. It's like, keep it in the middle of the day. I can go do all kinds of stuff. Nobody else is out. But now it happens in the evening. It's like, man, well, at least do it at dinner time so I can go out to dinner. But it just... And there's some people who say that about their faith. And there's people who will say that about God. And I say, it just doesn't matter to me. And you go, okay, maybe it doesn't. Then we just get to walk quietly alongside of them and be an example. And who knows? They might get interested. And it may be a case like many of you are undoubtedly are thinking right now. He just doesn't understand the game. If he understood the game, I know he'd love it. That's true of people who don't understand God's presence. Maybe they just don't know what it is. Maybe they just never heard. Maybe nobody took the time with them. And maybe that's your job with that person. And then there's the person who's going to get upset about it when you talk about Jesus. And they're going to tell you, I don't want to hear about that stuff. Then you have to ask, well, why does it bother you so much if it doesn't matter? Things that don't matter, don't matter. Somebody came and told me that the Rays were moving out of town. I would have to say, huh. My thought would only be for the economy. But let's think about it. If people don't know and people don't understand, it doesn't mean anything to them, and we're the ones that are out there for the harvest. The harvest hasn't changed. Maybe we need to work the field. Maybe that's part of our job. Not even maybe. In fact, I'm quite certain of it. But when you're rejected, brothers and sisters, it's not you. And then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, the demons submit to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." And he goes, see, I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies. And nothing will hurt you. his team came back. They were excited. He's going, yeah, you should be excited. You saw it. You went out and witnessed to the kingdom of God, and you walked in it, and I worked through you. I saw it happen, and that's great. And here's the other thing that becomes so important. So important. Nevertheless, he says, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's not me either. The greatest asset to being a Christian, the most important thing we can discover, is that we're just tools. When placed in the master's hand, can be used to do incredible things for his kingdom. Just a tool. The beauty is all the responsibility is placed on God. He can handle it. Be a tool. You could say vessel if that makes you feel better. But I say be a tool. Put yourself in a master's hands. Let him work through you and experience the growth that comes and the joy that comes, just like the 70 or 72, depending on your translation. Come with joy to recognize that he's used you. No greater understanding for a Christian than to understand that without Christ, we are nothing. It's okay. There is still an abundant harvest. The laborers are few, not because they don't know that there's a job to do, but I think because we often live in fear going out and doing the job. You're missing charge. Today tells you not your responsibility to worry about that, whether it's received or not received, not your concern, whether it's proclaimed. That is what he sends us to do. Be the tool. Put yourself in the master's hands. Give him all the glory. Give him all the rejection, and let's see what he can do to transform this world. Amen.